SHOT Show was weird. That's all I gotta say. I mean, it actually proves my theory on time-traveling Chinese. I was thinking about it this morning. I got up early. Got back from SHOT last night. Flew, you know, got out of there at 4 o'clock. I'm not hanging around overnight. You know, Saturday's usually a zoo to get out of there. So I'm thinking about it this morning, you know, going over what I'm going to talk about in my SHOT Show kind of review. And if you want details on certain things, there's a lot of people posting stuff on Sniper's Hide in the forum. Doug from Cameraland has a good optics roundup and things like that. But, man, if you're a new listener and you want to know about time traveling Chinese, talking gray aliens here, right? The short, gray, almond eyes. And we talk about, like, it's time travel. Einstein said time travel's doable. In space, the problem is distance until we figure out how to do wormholes and all that other stuff. So time traveling Chinese. There's so many Chinese in the world, and this is just what I'm facts. I'm not going against anybody. I got to caveat everything nowadays. Oh my God, you got to caveat. So, you know, in 10,000 years, it'll be bred that way. But then, you know, you got global warming, all the things. When it's hot, dry, stuff like that, things grow shorter. Well, then, you know, so gray aliens. And they're gray because of elephants. Elephants don't sunburn. And if you look at the news, it's funny because you're at SHOT Show all week and there's like no information in the outside world. Like I got in the cab yesterday and everybody's talking about how messed up the airport was. And the lady's like, oh, the shutdown's over. The terminal you're going through is fine. So you're in this bubble. And, you know, but if you look at the news, they're actually working on bringing back a woolly mammoth. So one of the first things they're doing is working with elephants. Okay, so I said, go back to the podcast and listen. Elephants don't sunburn, so if we can take the DNA from an elephant and blend it with, you know, a human, get that gray skin, and now the almond eyes are like a sunglass, you don't have that problem with the heat and the temperature of the world getting hotter. So I'm looking at the woolly mammoth thing. So now I'm at SHOT Show, and there's some stuff going on I can't even bring up because it'll just be way too politically incorrect, but it was funny as hell. It wasn't on purpose, and, you know, we're at the Leatherneck Club, and some things happened. As soon as I walked in the door, it was hysterical, but, you know, it was an accident. And so, anyway, I get in the airport, and I'm looking at, you know, the news, and I'm trying to catch up, and what do you see? Every little power celebrity is talking about how they're raising their new kids to be gender neutral. Okay, like I said, no judgment. Don't care what you do. It's your thing. I'm staying out of it, but I'm just giving facts and what I've seen on the news and in my Google feed and all that kind of stuff, Google News, Apple News, whatever the case may be. So they always portray gray aliens as being naked and genderless. So now we're going in that direction. So it totally proves my theory that, you know, the so-called aliens are time-traveling, and like I say, I call them Chinese just because of the volume, right? There's a hell of a lot more of them than any other kind of race on the planet, and so through breeding and all that stuff, there'll be a heck of a lot more of them, and I'm telling you, this SHOT Show was just strange. And from that perspective, and maybe it wasn't SHOT so much as Vegas, but there was definitely some strangeness. For you wondering, you know, to me, this year's SHOT Show was kind of like, you know, there's peaks and valleys. It was more an upgrade year. We saw a lot of really great, just minor upgrades to products or products that you might have heard about last year, but came out this year. And so it's not necessarily a new release. It's just now they're being released because we hear about them a little bit early. We talk about them throughout the year, and then they finally are starting to come to market at SHOT Show. So we're going to talk about what I saw, and Mike's still there. Mike stays overnight. He's probably just getting home today. I'll probably get with him on Monday. But I want to thank everybody that came up and, you know, said, hey, how you doing? Took selfies. The guys from Australia, you were a funny dude, man. You know, all there was just a great, great bunch of feedback from everybody. I know I walk really fast. It's a goof. Like, I'm in my suits and stuff, and I walk around SHOT Show, and I walk, like, with a purpose because, I got to go from meeting to meeting and place to place. And honestly, I hate the damn like layout of shot now. Where there, you know, upstairs isn't so bad. Where the LE and then into the big room down where the monster booths are. But downstairs, we're getting a lot more products down there that are more of the tactical type products. Because in the past, anything tactical like that had to be in the LE sections, which were the rooms upstairs or down where Mile High and that kind of right there. And then the two main big areas are more sporting, hunting, and things like that. But now it's mixed everywhere. And navigating downstairs is just a nightmare. Their app was awful, didn't work worth a damn. You know, it was much easier to try to just like write the number and go there than have the app do something. It was almost like the app was backwards. I don't know what it is. But anyway, you're listening to the Everyday Sniper Podcast, and this is your SHOT Show review. So, you don't see a lot when you're working. And it's the one main thing I can tell you about this show is nobody came up to me and said, hey, man, you got to go here and see this. I didn't get any of that. I had a few people like message me and stuff and say, hey, did you happen to see XYZ came out with this product? And most of the time it was like, no, I didn't even hear anything about that. There was very little what I would call buzz on the SHOT Show floor, you know? So you got to look at it from an upgrade and from a kind of a continuum standpoint. You know, one of the first meetings and things that I had was with SIG. And they updated the Tango 4, and you know, there was a lot of discussion that I had with them because I look at the SIG Tango 4 now in its current configuration as a really good entry-level option. I've mentioned several times, you know, $1,500 is the new budget optic that you can even begin to recommend. But there are starting to be a few in that $800 to $1,250 range. And $1,250 is like where the Night Force SHV. That's like my number one budget recommender is a Night Force SHV. But if you can't do $1,250, we have to start looking at options that are a little bit below that, that are going to be, you know, with all the right features, all the good support and reticles and things. It's all about reticles with scopes now. I had a lot of conversations with companies that are trying to kind of bring their scopes to market. And you know, there's a lot of OEMs out there, and there's nothing wrong with that. Guys can go and say, hey, I want to have a scope company, and they're going to OEM and spec it out. If you're doing that, it's the reticle, man. It's all about the reticle now. That's our point of contact with them. Controls are pretty standardized. You know what I mean? The internals and stuff, especially when they're OEMing, they're borrowing from the different companies, the Bushnells, the Vortexes, even on the SIG sides and things like that. When you have that lower cost where it's not sort of a hybrid. Like, you know, one of the first hybrids that we talked about for a long time was the Vortex Gen 2 Razor. It starts out as sort of an OEM, and then it gets the upgrades. And if you go to Sniper's Hide or followed me for any period of time, when it first came out and I went to the factory, I showed you how they took apart the Gen 2 Razor and upgraded the internals for it. You know, because it's sort of cheaper to get a full scope than to get parts. And then when they get it, they take it apart. They put in their things, and that's just because, you know, when you OEM like that and you spec a scope out, that company will borrow from one to another. So they'll borrow from Vortex and things like that. So every now and then, guys want to protect their intellectual property, so they'll do it here. But, you know, that's one of the things. You know, we talked about the Zero Compromise and how last year it was such a big thing when it was announced, but that was like prototype stage. Now they're into production, they're in people's hands, and this was the first year they have a booth. So you can look at the Zero Compromise as being, you know, a new product for SHOT, even though it came out last year. Another thing that, you know, with the chassis systems. Chassis systems are huge. They're everywhere. MDT, XLR. You know, I was a big fan of the JP, and I'll talk about that some more. But they'll do minor upgrades, like the XLR Envy in the heavy configuration with the steel inserts and all that stuff. really great looking chassis. XLR is a great company, but they still have the lighter models if you want to go into the ounces, and now they have the heavy models and the weight systems. MDT is the exact same way. You know, they got the ACC, they got the weight system, the LSS, and they're refining, even MPA, they're refining, they're doing small additions. So it's like, yeah, I know that name of that chassis, I know about that chassis, but they've upgraded it. You know, no surprise, I work with JP and do stuff, shooting the Valkyrie, shooting the gas guns and stuff. If you watch the videos and saw me with Brian Whalen of shooting the 224 out to, you know, a mile plus, the Mile High bolt rifle we shot had the prototype JP chassis on it. And I believe they might have even had a prototype version of it last year. Well, this year they're closer to and they're ready to release the final version. And it's a lot different than the one I shot just a few months ago or the one you saw a year ago. So while, you know, it might not be a new release from, you know, the knowledge standpoint, it's actually just being released. So you have to look at it from, you know, that perspective that I saw this as an upgrade show. Manners had some upgrade stuff. There was a lot of things in the Manners booth. McMillan has that small frame stock that they worked with Regina Milkovich. And I'm going to get into that in another minute as well. Because just Regina's a rock star. Everybody knows that. I don't have to tell you yet. I've known her since I think probably the day she showed up on the scene. That she is the model, man. If you've ever heard me do a rant about competition shooters and all that stuff, if you just want to, if you want the model for a true professional, it's Regina Milkovich. I don't care, you know. And if that hurts somebody's feelings up there, hey, man, I didn't mention your name. You know, it's not personal. It's amazing how many times I have to caveat going into meetings and be like, hey, man, understand. Probably going to be playing with your competitor's stuff, and you're going to see pictures of me holding it, talking about it. It doesn't mean I'm taking away from you. I'm just giving people, you know, options. People like options. I'm going to start putting things in a bucket because it's, hey, Frank, you know, I'm looking at this. What's my favorite color? Okay, what's your budget? You know, it's that kind of stuff. Well, my budget, you know, to me, it's like, okay, spend $2,400, $2,800. Well, that's not my budget. Okay, well, then we have to start looking at the options that are within your budget that I still think would be a good dollar-for-dollar value for you. You know what I mean? So I don't want to waste your money, but I don't want to tell you to buy something just because your budget is lower. That might not be the right choice. You know, so think of these things as being put into budget buckets. And I'm only going to put stuff that I think is worthy of consideration in that budget bucket. Now, another caveat, does that mean I know every product and every situation out there? Absolutely not. I'm never going to claim it. In fact, I know less now than I did 10 years ago because we had less choices 10 years ago. You know, today there's so many choices. It's so hard to keep up with everything. Great example. Somebody asked me, hey, man, did you see the Yankee Hill chassis? No, I didn't. Didn't even know there was one. I walked by Yankee Hill. I didn't stop. I sped by Yankee Hill, but I didn't. You know there was a chassis. Nobody said anything. I didn't see it. Does that mean I don't consider the Yankee Hill? No, I was just ignorant of the Yankee Hill. But anyway, going back, I'm on crazy tangents, man. You can hear my voice is shot. You know, all kinds of stuff. But it's funny. I walk really quick. I'm going down. I'm in my suit. I'm going to meetings. I'm walking with purpose. And I'll see people recognize me and I'll hear my name. Hey, that's Frank from Everyday Sniper. That's Frank from Sniper's Hide. But because I'm the way I'm walking, they don't come up to me. And I got it. I saw you guys. I acknowledge. Apologies for being on a tight timeline. But then yesterday, I'm in, you know, my airplane clothes. I'm in normal, you know, pair of cool pants, my, you know, hoodie and that kind of stuff. And I'm walking much slower and I'm trying to look at things that people have mentioned. And a lot more people will come up to me and approach me that way. And I get it. And thank you to all you guys, the guys we gave stickers to, the guys with all the pro, a lot of ULE guys, because I run into tons and tons and tons of LE people in the Mile High booth when I go down there. And honestly, it's one of those things where we're having these great, great conversations and we're talking about how they're just listening to the podcast and they're getting educated, because we're always trying to throw some knowledge bombs at you guys. And oh man, speaking of knowledge bombs, I did an interview with Brian Litz and Emil Praslik. Holy cow, you guys are going to love it. I talked to Paul Phillips about the 6,000-yard shot. I talked to the team Recon Sniper Foundation guys about what they're doing, getting into the new shooting season. So I got some really good interviews, not as many as I wanted. I was a little bit busier than I thought I would be. Meetings ran over. You gotta understand, my meetings aren't just self-serving. My meetings go in. We're discussing trends. Watch my 6'5 guy interview. I did a long-ass video with the 6'5 guys down at the Lapua booth. And I'm talking about trends I'm seeing, things in the industry. So companies that I'm talking to, and it might be about their product. Hey, what do I think of the product I got from them a few months ago? Hey, what's going on? They're asking me about trends that I see. They're asking me about directions to go. And that comes back to reticle stuff. That comes back to, 26-pound rifle versus 12-pound rifle. Those kind of things. Calibers and matches and, field course versus, 3-gun with a precision rifle. All that kind of stuff. And so, it's not a case of, hey, here's a media kit, buy advertising on Sniper's Hide. It's, hey, man, your product is right on the edge. It just needs this little push in this direction, and it'll start to get more notice. Options, right? People want options. There's a ton of people who listen to me and don't agree with me. Or, Frank's talking about this and Frank's talking about that. And because he talks about it so much, I'm going in another direction, or whatever. They just want choices, man. It's all that stuff. And I get that. I may not come out all the time and acknowledge it, but we all have our opinions, man. What's my opinion worth? Well, if I give you $5, you can go to Starbucks and get a coffee with it. And I get that, but I've been around the block a few times, and I'm looking at this stuff from an eye of, I have to present it. Fuzz is itching. I have to present it to you in a way where if I say, hey man, go look at this scope, and then 100 people come back and say, dude, you talked about this scope and said it was good, and all of ours broke, or had to go back for repair, or we're off, 4% and not 1.5% when we talk about targets and things like that. So that's kind of, I'm trying to set this up and be a little bit more explaining the method to my madnesses. And rather than just going out there and saying, oh, these guys are my buddy and they came out with something new and man, those are the ones. And, because it's a little bit more than that. And it was like, I had two major conversations about parallel tracks. And one of them is debatable. I don't know. I talked to both sides and in my mind, they were parallel tracks. And I'm going to give you the example with Michael Victor, man. Michael Victor, Victor Company, does the Viper skins, does the Titan 22 stocks. He's a longtime friend. He grew up here in Colorado. History with my family, that's here. My extended family in Colorado. I met him at a Christmas party when I used to fly from Connecticut because I was dating Kim out here, and that kind of stuff. And I met him at a Christmas party that way. So he comes out with an Accuracy International forend. M-Lock, flush cups. It's a competition type forend for your AI, AX chassis or rifles. comes to the Mile High booth, and he comes when Tom Irwin, the owner of AI, is there. It's nearly identical to the ASR. And Michael Victor knew nothing about the ASR because it wasn't public. There was no pictures. Yeah, there was an ASR program, and if you were paying heavy attention, you might have saw that it was out there, but there was no pictures of the rifle until just before shot. I mean, there was one leak that happened about a month or so ago, but, I mean, Michael Victor's an Accuracy International fanatic and wanted to go in more of a direction that was competition-friendly. He walks up to the booth and, you know, presents it to Tom. And Tom's like, dude, look, I already did it. And he's like, oh, man. And had he not done that, it would have been drama. Instead, it was like this pretty funny back and forth. I was standing back and I explained to Tom, Tom, listen, I know Michael. I known him a long time. This is not something where he's looking to, you know, sidestep you. He wants to work with you in a way and understands you focus on rifles. You focus on this. It's an enhanced feature in his mind. It's not a competitor. You know, it's a way to enhance the rifle and bring more attention. Somebody may look at it and say, hey, there's not enough products out there to support the key slot, at least not on the competition side of things, right? And with the really right stuff, dovetail built in and all that stuff now that the ASR has and Michael's stock has, you know, it's parallel track stuff. So I'm sitting back, I'm with Corey from Mile High and all that, and Michael's kind of, you know, Tom's goofing on him a little bit and kind of, you know, putting pressure on him, and Michael's digging a little bit of a hole, but then climbing out and then falling back. He'll take a step back and fall back into the hole, and I'm kind of laughing and smiling, and at one point he said something, and they all turned to me and was like, what? You know, and I was like, no, I'm back here. I didn't say nothing. That was not me. I'm not coaching. I'm not putting words in his mouth. And I turned to Corey after we're all kind of laughing about it. And I said, see, Corey, at this SHOT Show, every single day, if I stand in one place long enough, I'm going to get in trouble. And trust me, I probably got in trouble every single day at SHOT Show for doing nothing. Kelly McMillan explained it to me like this, because I was down talking with Kelly, Regina, and all that stuff. And I said, gee, Kelly, you know, he known me since the first day of Sniper's Hide and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I don't get it, man. I kind of came to the new year trying to be on my best behavior and not looking for, you know, to drum up drama. And it was just like every day I got involved in some kind of little thing. And he says, you know what, Frank? He goes, because you're so used to walking down these aisles and just tossing grenades and laughing at the results, and you're waiting for a piece of shrapnel to hit your back. So you're expecting it. He said, but now you're not expecting it. And that's why it's kind of throwing you off your game a little bit. He goes, maybe you ought to go back to just tossing grenades. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be that guy. And, you know, it's too big now to really kind of go in that direction. And honestly, you know, there's enough room. It's a perception thing, man. A lot of this is 10%. You know, I can disagree with something. I can disagree with somebody's method or somebody's approach and still have mad respect for him and still walk up to him. And the difference, I think, with me is I will stand in front of you and debate our disagreements. You know, and I think Brian Litz is a great example of that. If anybody followed me over the years on Sniper's Hide, we go back and forth about things all the time. Does that mean I don't respect the guy? I don't think he does stellar work? It's a 10% disagreement. You know, but the 10% on the internet nowadays is like 110% of a problem. And so, you know, here we sit down, we do this interview, and it's a friggin' home run. And when you listen to it, I think you'll get what I'm talking about. If you keep this in the back of your mind when you're listening to that interview, it'll make sense. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, I posted this on the hide today because I'm on the forum and I'm talking all over the place, throwing my 2 cents in here, 2 cents in there. But that's my job. I'm you know, for lack of a better word, and I guess you got to look that outdoor life. I'm an influencer, so you know I look at these things and I'm like, well, okay, I don't 100% agree with that. I might 90% agree with it, but then I focus on. Or people focus on sometimes that 10%. Well, if I did this or I do that, and all I'm trying to do is separate myself from the hype or separate myself by bringing up that 10% difference. And, you know, P.T. Barnum, man, I'm from Bridgeport, okay? If you watch The Greatest Showman, okay, P.T. Barnum, Hugh Jackman and the whole thing. After all that stuff where The Greatest Showman leaves off, the P.T. Barnum Museum was in Bridgeport. P.T. Barnum used to say, nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. Well, I expanded on that. Nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. Nothing draws a bigger crowd like a fight. You know what I mean? And so, you know, coming up in Sniper's Hide, I never shied away from a fight. But now with everybody's sensibilities, with the doxing, with the, you know, getting Catholic schooled and you know, here's a kid with a smirk. We're going to take it out of context. And the next thing you know, everybody's battling. And it's like this kid's the next Ku Klux Klan guy. And it's like, whoa, dude, you know, how do we go from standing there with a smile on his face to being a Klan member? And it's the industry, the world, everything changed. And, you know, maybe I'm a dinosaur now and I got to kind of learn to change with it because I'm still doing things like I did in 2005. And it's hurting people's feelings and it's having bigger repercussions. You know, doesn't mean I'm wrong or doesn't mean it's so colossal. It just means they now have their own venue to create a bigger form of drama. Before, you know, I was Hearse. I bought, you know, pixels by the million, and you can go on to Facebook and create your own little thing and send it out and share it around. You can go on another podcast. You could do all these different things. So then the drama gets enhanced. So you know, if I'm talking about certain things here, if I'm mentioning what I saw at SHOT Show, understand where I'm coming from. It's my view, my opinion. If I miss something, it might be out of ignorance of knowing that it existed or just feeling like, okay, it's another version of the upgrade. I'm going to the name we know because it's an easy bet. Las Vegas, rolling the dice, right? I want the odds in your favor rather than saying, hey, man, it's a crap roll. Throw the dice and see what happens. Yeah, I get it. That might come from the same place. But is their level of quality control the same? Are they just batch testing every 1,000, you know, 10 out of every 1,000? Are they batch testing 100 out of 1,000? That kind of stuff. So don't, it's never, ever personal. But going back, I want to talk right up about like the hidden gems, the things I don't think were on people's radar that I felt was really good. And I mentioned this the first day. When I did the cast earlier, the Oler 89, Buford's contribution over there, $2,500. This is like almost like having your personal ballistics lab. If you're an ELR shooter, if you're an instructor, if you're one of these guys, if you got some disposable income and you like to shoot a lot and you like to shoot far, the Oler 89, man, is to me, it was... When I'm coming through LE into the big room, you go about, you know, 10 yards, 20 yards, whatever it is, and there it is, but it's a tiny little booth that doesn't stand out. You had to know it was there. Same thing with Michael Victor. You know, you had to know. Michael Victor made this cool tool. He's a hidden gem. The Victor Company stuff, the forearm. But he also made an Atlas bipod tool for $40. It's a tensioner. Everybody would complain the original Atlas, you can't tighten it enough by hand and nobody likes the slop and the wobble and they want to lock it down tight. I've even read like Casey, hey, Technodillo, what's up, dude? Saw him at SHOT Show, great dude, been to classes, longtime member. He's like, I Loctited mine to lighten it down. Guys want like a Harris, a stiff, doesn't loosen up at third day of shooting. This tool will do it without messing it up, and you only need like a 3-finger tension. It's different patterns. Casey is working with Michael to give him all the pattern designs. Right now he's got 2 patterns. I think he's might got 3. So for the various changes for the Atlas, the originals, and the new versions, the PSR versions, and that kind of stuff, the ones with the pan and tilt, this will fit. And all you do is you can reach up, put this tool on it, give it a 3-finger, you know, tighten. It'll stay locked an entire match, almost like your Harris. And then you just got that little bit of tension, you know, or not tension, but movement in the legs, which you can load. And all you're doing is taking that slack out. You're not pushing your shoulder into it. It's core weight stacked behind it with that like 1/4 inch of movement in the legs taken out. Harris doesn't move. So you don't push into those because you just stack your weight behind it and knuckle into them, right? So you can turn your Atlas into something tight. Speaking of Atlas, the Gen 2 Cal was there at Casey's booth, B&T. Home run, rock star, love it. The Atlas Cal 2 can easily become one of my favorite bipods. And I'm sure it's going to be. I'm 100% behind it. Does that mean, you know, I'm going to throw shade at the Thunder Beast? Hell no, I love the Thunder Beast, but it's more money. Where is your budget? Where is your income? The Thunder Beast bipod was released, okay? It's out there. It's hitting the market. It's a little bit more expensive. There's a lot of engineering that went into it. We were all down, me, Mike, everybody were shooting them for months now. We shot like 2 or 3 versions of them. I know I had 3 versions. I had the first one, the second one without a 45, and now this final one. You know, there's a lot that goes into developing these products. That's where the price comes up. You know, everybody's, oh, the Harris is good enough. Yeah, if that's your head, hey man, if you're fine with buying a $4,000 to $8,000 rifle and putting an $85 bipod on it, more power to you, man. Who am I to tell you you're wrong? But I'm telling you, these bipods are purpose built. The stance, the angle. I was talking with Walt Wilkinson, Gunsight, ELR shooter, King of 2 Mile, and he's talking about the optimal perfect angle for a bipod leg. Why more bipods don't have it? And he's questioning this because he's seeing all these bipods. The optimum angle is like 54 degrees, 55 degrees, and all that stuff. It's patented. So he's like going to these people and saying, dude. And they're like, can't patent. You know, why pay a patent fee on I'm coming into this $400 bipod zone. And now you want me to pay a licensing fee. So now it's $500. So that, you know, they got to get their money back. They're putting these things into government contracts where once you set a government price, you can't then turn around and sell it to us civilians cheaper. So if you go and say to the government, because I mean, it's a lot to put in a government. I mean, there's a lot of hoops to jump through. It costs a lot of money. If you do that and then tell the government, cost me $500 to get this in your hand, then hopefully I win the contract. Well, if they do, you can't sell it for $250. So, you know, that's what you got to look at. I mean, you got to understand there's reasonings behind these things. Machine cost, okay? They'll buy a new machine. You know, that kind of stuff. All these things are factored in. But at the end of the day, we're using much better, more expensive equipment. We're not, you know, yeah, there are, if you buy a $1,000 rifle, went to the Legacy Sports, Hawa. Okay, if you spend $1,100 on a Hawa and then $85 on a Harris to get you up and running, I get it. It makes perfect sense. But if you buy an AIAX, $7,000, well, then you put a $500 bipod on it. You know, context, man. It matters and stuff like that. And speaking of that, the ASR came out. The kits, dude, they sold a metric ton of those kits at almost 20 grand. You know what I mean? They're going to be gone. I guarantee those things will probably all be gone by around March, the way it was looking at the show. But then they came out with the ATLE. I'm going to let Mike talk more about that, but I'm just going to give you a little primer. You take an AT rifle, it's the $4,000 one, right? Well, they put an AX back on it for the LE people. Mile High can do it for the civilian crews because it's going to be like a Glock blue gun deal. But at the same time, they can build you one. And like I said, when I talk to Mike Monday or so, I'll let him get into more detail about it. But the ATLE was a huge hit at SHOT Show. I didn't talk a lot about it because my understanding was it's LE. Then when I'm standing there listening to Mike and his pitch, he's like, we'll build it for you. And it's like, well, I didn't know that part of it. I only knew one part of the conversation. I knew the ATLE came out, Glock blue gun status, ULE guys can buy it. The rest of us, well, they'll build it. Cool. You know? And so that's kind of where it was. Great visiting with everybody. Spent a ton of time at the Gap booth with Shannon Kay and all that stuff. I hadn't forgot. I am going to get Shannon on. You know, you all know the backstory of the last month or so. I'm not going to get into that. I just got to get caught up now. I put myself behind the curve. But, you know, it's going to all this stuff. It mounts, really right stuff. Really Right Stuff came out with their 36 millimeter mounts. They're getting heavier and heavier into mounts. Spur's moving forward like they always do. Spur's a huge innovator. They got the lower profile hunting style mount. Okay, rounded, not as big and crazy and bulletproof. They got a smaller mount. And Mile High being the distributor, I'll let Mike talk a little bit more about that mount. So you got all these little things that are happening, and it's just the way it is. So, you know, Badger. I went by Marty's booth, talked to Marty. Jesse Fletcher from Scout Sniper Association was there. If you go on Sniper's Hide, there's an M40A3, but with the Inertal on it, raffle. You could buy raffle tickets in the bear pit. Look up the Scout Sniper Association raffle stuff. Jesse Fletcher, Marine Scout Sniper veteran, you know, I won't even go into his story because he's not a guy that puts that forward, but, you know, Jesse's got a really great story behind him, and he's kind of taken the reins over the Scout Sniper Association. Badger supports the hell out of us, and they put together the M40A3. Marty is like he's like the Reed Knight of precision rifle and different things with museum pieces and all this kind of stuff. Marty's got a crazy collection and just knows the backstory and the history of everything. He had all these new mounts out, new designs and all these things. They looked sweet. You know, they were like, great. I'm like, man, Marty, I dig your mounts. I think they look really good. I mean, Badger was the gold standard for mount. Does that mean they're not anymore? Well, they're just kind of, Spur might get more attention, but Badger's still probably, you know, one of the best mounts on the planet. It's an option, man. I don't talk about Marty and Badger as much, but Marty's a longtime supporter of all these different things. He was on the Hide, the whole thing. When we did the Sniper's Hide Harbinger through GA Precision, that rifle was specced and built. We did the Headhunter, then the Harbinger. We had the Valkyrie. We had all these different rifles that GA Precision built that were limited edition Sniper's Hide rifles. Okay. Well, the bottom metal, Badger's bottom metal, was put into that because George and I went to Marty. Marty wasn't going to do AICS magazine bottom metal going years back, right? And George is like, hey, man, Marty, we're going to do a Sniper's Hide group buy, you know, limited edition Harbinger rifle. We'll put the bottom metal in it to bring attention to it. Hello? Hello? You know, where don't you see an AICS magazine in a bolt action rifle anymore? That would have never happened without Marty at Badger. his mounts are still the gold standard. I run the snot out of my old ones. I just hadn't kept up with them. Because you get distracted with other stuff. It's peaks and valleys. And unfortunately, in this industry, peaks and valleys are taking years now. Before, it used to be months. Now, I was talking with Brian, talking with everybody. We're turning into the electronics industry. And incorrectly, yeah, you can go and get a computer that today, in 6 months, it's what's considered obsolete. Memory, hard drive, all that stuff, right? And processors. Well, just because you bought a precision rifle 3 years ago doesn't mean what came out today or this week at SHOT Show makes it obsolete. That's just the marketing hype makes it sound obsolete. It's not. Yeah, I might be guilty a little bit of that because I'm in the now, but look at what I'm using. You know, the videos, that my multicam AX that's in a ton of my most recent videos, that's a 2010. Okay? That's a 2010. I use that one in videos more than I use my 2016 model. That's not even a quick lock. I'm just, you know, I may not mention it. I may not talk about it. I'm bringing up the ATLE. But does that mean an older one's not good? I grab used shit all the time. Mile High gets tons of used stuff in. They let people trade in stuff. I'll be like, ooh, and it'll be so cheap. It's like, how could you resist? You know what I'm saying? So don't fall down that rabbit hole because we're being pushed down it. And I mentioned, and I had several conversations with that over the course of the show. And speaking of the rifles and all that stuff, APO's ready to go. Monday I'm going to release. There's a countdown timer. There's a website. There's the whole thing for the Ashbury Precision Rifle, the Saber M700 Sniper's Hide Edition, 1995. We talked about it at detail. Morris, Matthew, those guys put together data sheets, information, all this stuff, website, so you guys can order direct, cut out the middleman if you want. For the Alaska crew, Mark's going to have access to it. You can order it direct from Mark, okay? What we want to do with this, I mean, for years, okay, for the last couple years, I'm talking RPR. Well, we don't get support, and I don't mean financially. I mean, you know, Ruger doesn't know it. I mean, they know me. I helped them. I went to the first thing, released it. You saw the initial release of it. I was on the inside with that. But they've moved on. They moved past. APO, number one, takes this thing, trues it up, specs it, air gauges it, makes sure the quality is there with the Remington. And the nice thing is, Remington 700 barreled action that's been taken apart by Ashbury, Morris's guys, they're all 2112 armorers. That's all he hires is Marine Corps armorers. Okay, there's a Marine Corps connection to Ashbury that I'm not going to get into, but you probably wouldn't believe me if I told you. And that's why I go to Morris. I've had a relationship with Morris for a very long time. You'll get support. You'll get customer service if you need it. I doubt it, but if you need it, it's there. I can talk directly with Morris. They're building new backs and chassis pieces. The modularity of that Saber M700 chassis. There's a new back coming out, but I spec'd an adjustable back for you already. Okay, four ends, you can go up in quality in design or down in design. You know what I mean? You can make it where it looks like a hunting stock. No chassis, no frame. It's a modular fore-end that's a composite versus the aluminums and the carbon fibers and all that stuff. I mean, we can spec out parts on an Ashbury chassis that's probably in the $2,500 range. But we're bringing you a complete rifle at $1,995. It'll be ready to drop in your hands by February 28th. There's a countdown timer, 33 days and counting on the site to when you can get your hands on it. It's turnkey, okay? That was my goal, to give you a turnkey semi-production precision rifle that has the right options and features. Full Foran rail on there, M-lock, adjustable back end. It's not a compromise. TriggerTech triggers, two-stage trigger come out. Okay, TriggerTech guys. Hey Frank, how you doing? Did you see our two-stage? Dude, I love your two-stage trigger. I did snaps on that thing over a dozen times at the booth. I said to Ashbury, when you do my rifle, I want a TriggerTech in it for these guys. To me, that's your point of human contact. Okay, I want a good trigger for a nice, crisp, solid break. And I settled on TriggerTech because I like those guys. I think they're doing good work. They're hitting all the marks, you know? So now you have a turnkey rifle with the Sniper's Hide stamp of approval that you can get direct and cut out the middleman that'll have an awesome resale value. Upgrade directions, accuracy. They're all hammers. They all got test targets. Somebody came over and they're like, well, you know, there's a little bit of this, there's a little bit of that. And Morris don't play. Morris is like me. He's an East Coast guy. Morris has been around the block. You know what I mean? Morris is straight to the point, no nonsense. And he's like, dude, look at that test target. Okay? That tells you what ammo we use, under what conditions, the whole thing. We're going to do data spec sheets for you. You're a new guy, you want to get in a precision rifle, you pick up the Ashbury Sniper's Hide Edition training rifle, you'll have data because they're all going to be so close to each other. It'll get you on steel without having to go through and figure out what the heck on your own. We're supporting you. You got me to feed you the data because I'll have mine, right? Everybody else will be using it, and I'll be talking about it, and I'll be like, dude, it's going to be 2750 with this bullet, with this thing. Here you go. Oh, you want to use this bullet? Okay. It's going to be 2,700 feet per second. Your dope at 800 is going to be 6.2, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. It's probably going to be more like 5-something, but whatever. And you know what I mean? It's, but we'll have it. That's why. Because I'm in direct contact with them. Because Morris and I have a relationship. It's not a big, giant company where, you know, I'm a pimple. That's all. That doesn't mean I'm no longer a fan of the RPR, or I'm not saying Atika, but here was the thing. Mark up in Alaska with you guys. Recommend RPR. What's the first thing Mark did with all you people up there? What's the first thing I did? We do upgrade, blah, 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 none of this. They take off the stock, they put on a Magpul, right? They take off the foreign, they put on a Seekins. Some of them are swapping the triggers out of them, okay? They're doing all these different, wait a minute, time out. Glenn Seekins, thank you, Glenn. You know what you did, thank you. Glenn Seekins is one of the classiest dudes in this industry. And I may have mentioned before, but if you're a new listener, fun fact, Seekins' first upper and lower were Sniper's Hide branded when he put the machine in his garage. Glenn, thanks. Enough said. But if you're out there listening and you want to support companies with stand-up people, Seekins. You know, I go on so many tangents and don't mention enough things. And it's not out of like, oh, I fell out of love with them or something like that. If I fall out of love with something, I'll tell you. But, you know, it's just not in front of my brain that often. But Seekins is good stuff. But anyway, you know, the RPRs, we're upgrading them. The Tikas, you tell somebody, oh, go get the $900 Tika, which I love a Tika, and then go put a $1,200 chassis on it. So now you're at $2,200. Sterk bolt handle, this, that, the other thing. By the time you're all said and done, you're like at both with the RPR and the Tikas, when you finally all settle in, you're $2,400. That's still not a bad price. That's still getting you a great rifle. But I'm giving you a turnkey solution at $1,995. That's all. That's it. You know, it's that simple, man. So I'm going to be releasing that, but I'll be talking about it some more. But I'm just letting you know that was at the show. That was something big we talked about. Pairing up with stuff. Talking about the RPR. Kestrel. Kestrel had the HUD. To me, that's one of my best in shows. Best in the show was the Kestrel HUD. So you instead of having a target board, yeah, can you put a white piece of plastic board on the side of your rifle and write your dope on it? Yes, you can. Do you need electronics to do that? No, you don't. But guess what? I like the electronics. I like what Kestrel does. Kestrel has an RPR model Kestrel. If you own an RPR, you can get a Kestrel that has all the RPR data already in it. It's just a branded version. This is what we're talking about, okay? Ruger was thinking, but they invested through Kestrel. We're thinking in the same vein, but I'm going to give it to you in data through the website. So that's kind of where I'm going with that. So Kestrel is one of my best-in-show products with the HUD. You can get a there's several versions. You can get one with the remote actuator. You can get one for you LE and military guys with the Y cord to go to your connected devices. Integration was key. Electro-optical, SIG electro-optics, this one electro-optics. Everywhere. Vectronics. I talked with Philip and the guys with Vectronics with the Terrapin X. Connects to all kinds of stuff. Connects to Traceall. Connects to Hornaday. Two biggest apps we talk about, right? Now, your Terrapin X will feed those programs. And the more and more and more they integrate this stuff, will feed these programs. Hello? It's like, that's the small upgrades I'm talking about. Nucon Optics, ELR, Paul Phillips with the 6,000-yard shot. I love the Vectronics Terrapin X. But from a civilian standpoint, that's where it starts and stops from them. Where do we want to go when we go bigger? Well, you can go the 25 Charlie. That's like 10 grand. Nucon, their stuff's a little lower. And I even talked to them how to make things a little bit more desirable. I was probably an hour and 15 minutes with those guys. They got an app coming out now. So it's like menus, you know, there's menu-driven stuff that you're pushing the buttons in multiple menus. Like the Terrapin X app. You can set it in the app. It'll communicate to the unit. The unit links to all this software, including the Kestrel stuff. Nucon, years and years and years ago, were more like, you know, the military. It was very utilitarian. Now they refined them. They finessed them. But they got great, you know, laser stuff in them. They go far. 3,500 meters. It's a noticeably amount less money than a 25 Charlie. I love a 25 Charlie, but not everybody can afford 10 grand. But if you want to shoot ELR, you need a laser that can go past 3,000 yards. The spec on the Terrapin X is 2,000 meters on a 2-meter plate. It lives up to that. Yeah, you could probably hit a house at 3,000, and I have. I think I got a house at 32. But it doesn't work every single time. The conditions matter. So guys will come to me every day. Want to shoot 35, want to shoot 35, want to shoot 4 grand. Nucon. Integration works with all the products we know. It's just out of Canada, and it's not something we talk about that often. And, you know, years ago, everybody saw the sort of heavy utilitarian way that it was designed. Well, they fixed that design. The user interface is different now. Okay? They've grown. They've learned. So now we're talking about them more. They got the spotter with integrated laser rangefinder. LE guys, got one thing and it works. You could spot. It looks just like the Leopold. You know what I mean? Same basic OEM on the spotter side. Except it's got a built-in laser. And it's got different levels of laser. It's got the 905s, it's got the 12s, it's got the 1550s and nanometers, right? It's got it hits all those marks. It just depends on how much money you want to spend. The farther you go, the more it costs. So Nucon, with their integration, Vectronics with their upgrade and innovation, that's all software-based. They're pumping out things to the app that then feed the unit and allow you to use the apps we all use. Traceall, Hornaday, two biggest ones we talk about. They communicate now. So we got that going for it. Talk to John Baker, speaking of ELR. He does the TACOM HQ, the Charlie unit, the Taco unit I talk about, the prisms and everything. He's got updates for that. That's going to, I'm going to tell you right now, guys, between 22s, 22 ELR, and ELR, you know, whether it's you're shooting 5,000 meter or you're shooting 500 yards with a 22, the prisms help. We're going to see a lot of movement in that space, okay? And John is addressing that. John Baker's doing a whole lot of stuff. He's out there knocking this out. He's making things that are that look at all these areas where we need more elevation in our scopes. Okay? So that's where that stuff's coming from. So that's another one of my mentions, man, is the Taco unit. And John, what he's doing. And, you know, it's funny. I'm seeing ultra light hunting rifles, but then everything else is getting heavier. I don't think that's going to last. I don't think that stuff's going to last, man. I think people are going to realize once we start putting a little more movement in these competitions that, you know, heavy's good if you're kind of walking 5 feet, but when you got to walk 5 miles, do you really want to carry a 20 plus pound rifle? Think about it. If these hunting rifles are going, you know, 4 pounds, 5 pound hunting rifles, hell, I think Manners had a hunting rifle stock and a whole setup there, a steel-barreled one at like 5 pounds. And it wasn't like so pencil thin because they lightened everything else up. I think that worm's going to turn. It may not be this year, it may not be next year, but I think within the next 3 years, man, listen to my 6'5 guys interview. It's long. I say a lot of stuff. If I hurt your feelings, sorry. It's me. You know, this is unfiltered Frank, man. And I'm being straight up with you. I'm telling you. And so why it's so offensive to people, I don't get. Also stopped in and spent a lot of time with Night Force guys. They're a powerhouse, man. Night Force is really establishing themselves as the one to catch. You know, it was a reticles and things like that this year and some stuff. But you watch, there's going to be a knockout punch coming from Night Force. I ain't saying anything else, but Night Force is conquering. They're dominating. They're, wow. You know what I mean? But really dig their reticles. They're doing all that stuff right. They've really grown lean and mean. You know what I mean? There's some stuff there. These guys are lean and mean, and I got to give them a mention. The reticle, Schmidt's reticle in person, that grid, if you're looking at the pictures, in real life, it's really good. But Night Force has the reticles because they have the pulse on the competition circuit. They have all that stuff going on, and they came out with all of it this year. You can't get near their booth. It's really, really that hard to get near those guys' booth. And it's only going to get better from our perspective and worse for the other guys. That's all I'm going to say about that. Otherwise, I'll get in trouble. And then one of my others, because I'm coming up pretty fuck on the hour, POF. I really dig the POF rifles, man. I've said that. He's taken 308 battle rifles to a new level. He's got 6.8 pounds. I love Frank, man. Frank and I go way back. POF are still some of my most favorite semi-auto rifles out there. You know, 6.8-pound rifle. That's an AR-15 style and the whole thing. They had their three-gun guys demoing it and all that stuff. But then for us, for precision rifle, they got a 8.6-pound, you know, rifle. And that would be the one for the tactical precision rifle guy, is the 8.6. The three-gun guys out there, you guys want the 6.8 version. But I'm going to give an honorable mention out there to Frank at POF. Like I said, longtime fan of those guys. And really, that's kind of got me covered. I'm sure I'm missing a lot. When I talk to Mike, we're going to go, and Mike will give his SHOT Show review. But like I said, I'm coming up on the hour, and I want to kind of just stay right in that hour. Time traveling Chinese, man. I'm telling you. My conspiracy theory is proved. Go look in the news. Don't take my word for it. Go to the news and just look at things. Why are they always naked, and why are they always genderless? Okay? Woolly mammoths. And these guys, we're looking at this from an amoeba standpoint. We're looking through a microscope. We're in the very beginning of all this thing. What, you know, gray aliens are 10,000 years in the future. So we're looking at the beginning of this stuff. So thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Keep commenting. I really appreciate the comments on the Podbean app. Go over to the Sniper's Hide forums. Hook that thing up, man. Huge conversations. It's moving fast and all that stuff. Thank you, everybody who came up to me, recognized me, might have said something behind my back there. I still, yeah, hey, man, no such thing as bad press. Right there, Leatherneck Club, no bad press. So, anyway, I'm going to sign off, get you guys this hour, and I got some really great stuff coming up that I'm going to be releasing in the next few days. Stand by for it. Cheers.